What can you do about guilt? What can you do about your guilt? What can you do about your shame? What can you do about your sin? Well, we do a lot of things. We try a lot of things. Sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we have that feeling of guilt, that deep feeling that just stays with us and lingers there deep within. Sometimes we just ignore it. Sometimes we do the best we can to just say, well, it's not there. It's just not there. Or with our sin or with our shame, sometimes we do the best we can to ignore it. Sometimes we compare and we deal with it that way and we say, well, you know, I've got this guilt, I've got this shame, I've got this sin in my life, but you know, all I have to do is look at this person and then, you know, I don't feel so bad. My guilt lessens. It's still there, but it lessens when you look at some of these other people around. Sometimes we blame. Sometimes we're not even willing to admit that we're the cause of that guilt and that shame that we feel. Sometimes we want to put it on somebody else. Sometimes to deal with the guilt, the sin, the shame, sometimes we say, well, this is why it was their fault. They did it. That's the whole reason I have all this. It's them. It was them. And then there's a whole array of excuses that we make sometimes for our guilt or our shame or our sin. And the list is endless. Well, it was because of this and this, and I shouldn't feel guilty. It was this excuse, that excuse. And then sometimes we deal with that guilt by trying to justify it. Sometimes we'll even use God's Word and we'll just search it through and we'll find a verse or something and we'll say, well, okay, now here's my verse. This is why I have this guilt and all this. God's Word said it was okay. But we're just justifying it. We just took one verse and we just took it out of context. We didn't look at what God's whole Word says about it. We're just clinging to one thing to help us feel better. Well, friends, brothers, sisters, all of these things are faulty and lies from the devil and ridiculous and pitiful. Because God has the answer for your guilt and your shame and your sin. And it's not up to you to figure out ways to make it feel less than that kind of thing. He's done it. He's provided the way for you. He's done it all. You just have to believe and accept it. But He's already taken care of it for you. He's taken care of all of your guilt, your shame, your sin. But do you believe Him? Do you believe it's that easy? Do you believe it's that free? It's called grace. And it's so amazing that you could miss it. You better be careful. It's that simple. It's that easy. God wants to do that for you. He loves you that much. He loves you more than you can comprehend. I want to ask you this morning, when thinking about guilt, shame, sin, let me ask you this question. Did you bring your sin offering with you this morning? Did you bring your sin offering with you? Well, this is how it was in Leviticus, one of those first books in the Bible. God is describing in this book of Leviticus, in the first seven chapters, God is describing the five main offerings that He desires from His people Israel at this time. And one of those is a sin offering. You bring an offering for your sin when you have sinned. And I want to look at it a little bit with you Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 4. That's just right at the beginning of your Bible. If you're new at this, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those first five books, that's the Pentateuch, meaning five, the law, the book of the law. But let's look at Leviticus chapter 4. And let's look as God is giving His people these instructions for these offerings. If you have sinned, do this, bring this offering. And here in Leviticus 4, I wanted to share this passage with you. God is talking about if the whole community sins, this whole Israelite community, if they sin, what do you do? But let's pray together first. Father, we just ask that You'd speak to us. Lord, thank You for this celebration of the Lord's Supper. Thank You for what You did for us. And Lord, please teach us. Get me out of the way. Let us hear Your voice. Speak to every heart what You desire to tell each person here. And may we leave this place obeying You, following You, living for You, accepting Your free gift of love. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look at it with me. Leviticus chapter 4, let's look at verses 13 to 21, and let's see what God says about it. If the whole community has sinned, what do we do here? What do they do? Well, it says in verse 13, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, they are guilty. When they become aware of the sin they committed, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the bull's blood into the tent of meeting. He shall dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord seven times in front of the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from it and burn it on the altar, and do with this bull just as he did with the bull for the sin offering. In this way the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. Then he shall take the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. This is the sin offering for the community. Wow. There's a few things that I want you to notice here when I ask you that question. Did you bring your sin offering this morning? Did you bring your sin offering? First of all, for your unknown sin. Did you bring your sin offering today for your unknown sin? We saw that in verses 13 and 14. It says that when the people have sinned unintentionally, they didn't mean to, and unknowingly, they didn't even know it. They didn't even know they sinned. When they've sinned in those ways, in 13 and 14, and the community is unaware of the matter, they are guilty. Uh-oh. Wow. I believe that means that today you and me, that you could not even mean to and sin against the world. That you could sin against the Lord today, and that you do sin against the Lord today unintentionally and unaware. That you didn't even mean to, and you didn't even know you did sin against the Lord. That happens today. I don't know how often that happens. So did you bring your sin offering for your unknown sin? I'm not even speaking about you. You know the ones you know, that's great. You can confess those to the Lord. But about the ones you don't know, and the truth of the matter is, God says you are guilty. You're still guilty of those sins that you don't know about and that you are unaware of. But then he says, notice that he says, when you become aware, when they become aware, than this and this. And so when you become aware of these unknown sins, and that's why it is good to take inventory. That is why it's good when we pray here every day and we say, God, search me, search my spirit, show me. Is there anything displeasing to you? Because then we're saying, we're open. Show me my unknown sin, Lord. Where is it? And that's a good heart when you do that. But when you become aware, then you are to bring your sin offering, is what the word was to the people there. Then you bring it. So, did you bring your sin offering for your unknown sin? Did you bring your sin offering next as your substitute? Your sin offering is your substitute. You see, you were supposed to come there and bring it with you. You bring that bull with you or whatever animal you had. You bring it with you. Why? Because that's your substitute. That's your substitute. Because there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. And when you become aware of your sin and you know you've sinned, you realize God's penalty is death and hell. Separation from God for all eternity. That's the penalty for sin. So if you've sinned, that penalty remains over you. There's the death penalty. God said it in the Garden of Eden. He said, if you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. The soul that sins, it shall die, God says. And so when you bring that animal, you're bringing your substitute. You're bringing somebody to die in your place. You're bringing an animal to die in your place. And did you notice that then you're to lay your hands on the animal's head? They were to lay the hands on the head. What is that? That's identifying with that animal. That's bringing your substitute with you to that tent of meeting. Bring that substitute before God. And then you would put your hands on the head to say, I identify with this. This animal is taking my place. And I identify. This is now me. In a sense, my guilt is now transferred to this animal. Yes, I'm the one who wronged. I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who keeps messing up. But I touch this animal. I identify with this animal. My guilt is, in a sense, transferred to this animal. So I have my substitute here. And we see that in the second part of verse 14 and then in the first part of verse 15. So, did you bring your sin offering for your unknown sin as your substitute? Also, did you bring your sin offering to take your death penalty for you? Did you bring that sin offering this morning to take your death penalty for you? You see, the penalty for sin is death. In the second part of verse 15, it says that, well, let me read 15. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. And so the bull got the death penalty. The penalty for sin is death, and the bull got it. And so, did you bring your sin offering today for your unknown sin? Did you bring your sin offering as your substitute? Did you bring your sin offering to take your death penalty for you? That's what the animal was doing. Instead of you dying, your guilt was transferred to that animal. And now there is a death. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. There has to be a death if somebody sinned. Well, someone died in your place. That animal took the death penalty for you. Finally, did you bring your sin offering for the priest to make atonement so you can be forgiven? Did you bring your sin offering today for the priest to make atonement so you can be forgiven? We see that in verses 16 through 20, that all this was done and the priest, after the death happened and the bull was slaughtered, then the priest was to get the blood and sprinkle it in these different places and do all these different things. And what was he doing? The priest was making atonement for sin. And then, what did it say? And then the community could be forgiven. Then they were forgiven. Have you sinned? Have you sinned this morning? Have you sinned this week? Do you have an accurate knowledge of what sin is? Let me tell you that if you just said, well, I don't think I've sinned, and then you thought, well, maybe I did something on Monday. Let me just go ahead and tell you, you don't have an accurate picture of what sin is. I've probably sinned 20 times already today. I don't know. I don't know how many. Who knows? That known and that unknown sin all piled up and combined against me of what I'm doing. Sin is anything that displeases God. It can be a thought that you think, simple thought. A word that you speak, it can be an action that you take. It can be something that God wanted you to do and you didn't do it. That's a sin of omission. You missed it. He wanted you to help that lady across the street, or He wanted you to call that person. You didn't do it. Or there's the sins of commission, what He didn't want you to do and you did it. So there's no telling how many times a day you sin and I sin. And so, I hope you answer that question with a yes. Have you sinned? Because then you're being truthful. And if you're not, then you have the sin of pride. If you're answering with a no, you have the sin of pride. And or you may even just be lying to yourself. But 1 John 4 tells us that. But have you sinned? And so the answer is yes. I hope you just admit it. But then, did you bring your sin offering this morning if you have sinned? I hope you brought that sin offering with you. But the good news is that here's how it plays out today. It's like you know you've sinned and you know you even have unknown sin. And so you say, okay, I got to bring my offering to the Lord. And here's how it plays out. It's like you go to that tent of meeting and then you get there and you say, oh my goodness, I don't have a bull. I don't have anything. And it's like God says to you, don't worry, I'll provide the lamb for you. And we know that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, when he looked at Jesus. Here's God's Lamb. God is bringing the offering now. Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So it's like you show up with your sin at this tent of meeting, and God says, oh, don't worry. I know you don't have a bull. You don't have a lamb. I've provided one for you. It's my Son. He's going to be the sacrifice today. He's going to be the sacrifice I've provided for your sins. He's a lamb. He's the Lamb of God. And so it's like God says to you, here's your substitute. And then He says, it's to take away your death penalty for you. And when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed and all of your guilt was being transferred to Jesus, just like you put your hands on the head to identify with Him. Well, Jesus has identified with you through baptism. You're buried with Christ in baptism and you're raised to walk in new life as a believer. You're identifying with Jesus. He also identified with you when in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed right before He knew He was going to go to the cross. And He prayed, Father, if it could be taken from me, take this cup away. He knew He was about to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world, for your sins, even though you hadn't been born yet. He said, but not my will be done, your will be done. And Jesus began to bear all the sin of the world. And God began to, so to speak, put your hand on Jesus' head. And God began, you weren't even born yet, but God knew all your sin. He knows the future sins you haven't done yet. He knew every sin you would ever do, all the sins of the world. And God began to transfer it all to Jesus. And Jesus bore the weight of all that guilt. And that's why the Bible says His sweat was like drops of blood. And He said, my soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Because all your guilt was being transferred. It was being put on Jesus. And then He took the death penalty for you. There has to be a death. The blood has to be shed. The wages of sin is death. And so then He went to that cross. The whole reason He came, to be your sacrifice. God's offering for you. So He went to that cross and He was slaughtered at the cross and He died. He took your death penalty for you. And then you're at the tent, you're realizing all these wonderful things, and then finally, for the priest, you brought your sin offering. God has provided you your sin offering, Jesus Christ. Why? For the priest to make atonement so you can be forgiven. And you know what the neatest thing is about it all is the priest that makes atonement, that's Jesus. It's the one who's dying for you. He's your great high priest. And so not only is He the sacrifice, not only did He give Himself to die in your place, but He's also your priest. He's the great high priest. And He made atonement for you just like the priest put the blood in different places, but He made it with His own blood. He said, I'll die for you and I'll shed my blood. I'll make atonement for your sins. I'm your priest. And so Jesus did all that for you. Why? So you could be forgiven. And then that's the way today. And you are. If you believe all that, and you admit your sin, and you go to Him, then you're forgiven. You are cleansed. You are purified. And He comes into your life. Jesus is your substitute. He is your substitute. I want to close with this reading from Max Lucado that we just read at Willie and Dimple's house. Who was with me? Evelyn and I. But this is so appropriate. Max Lucado wrote this, locked behind bars. Think of it this way. Sin put you in prison. Sin locked you behind the bars of guilt and shame and deception and fear. Sin did nothing but shackle you to the wall of misery. Then Jesus came and paid your bail. He served your time. He satisfied the penalty and set you free. Christ died, and when you cast your lot with Him, your old self died too. The only way to be set free from the prison of sin is to serve its penalty. In this case, the penalty is death. Someone has to die. Either you or a heaven-sent substitute. You cannot leave prison unless there is a death. But that death has occurred at Calvary. And when Jesus died, you died to sin's claim on your life. You are free.